there. But I did want to take a few moments and just talk about celebration and celebrating a few things for us here today. We just got through a series on Lost and Found out of Luke 15. And the whole idea was the fact that Jesus talked about that when people come to know God, he basically says, it's time to celebrate. It's time to party, right? You look at the shepherd who lost a sheep. He brings them home. He calls his friends. He throws a bash. And then it says this woman had 10 coins. She lost one, but when she finds it, she calls her friends. She throws a bash. And she tells the story of the prodigal son who, when he came home, the father throws this giant bash. And so when you look at the scriptures, you know that God is really big on celebration. If you look at the Old Testament, right? Like they were all about throwing feasts and festivals. They really knew how to celebrate. Some have said that Jesus in the New Testament is either at a meal, going to a meal, or coming home from a meal. I'm like, that's the kind of guy I want to follow, okay? This is the kind of guy that understands what it means to spend time in fellowship with one another. And so our hope today, as we have a barbecue at the kind of the end of the school year, it kind of marks a kind of a transition season as some of you will be traveling this summer and, you know, we head off to our holidays and, you know, people do their own thing. I just want to take a moment to pause us as a church family to make sure that we as a family, we celebrate all that God is doing. And maybe you're thinking, well, Jordan, what's the occasion? And it just so happened, I promise you, I'm not throwing all the fathers in the room, our own little party today with a barbecue. It's greater than that. It's the fact that we are the family of God and he's done some amazing things. The two things I want to highlight this morning that God has done, though they sound similar, they're actually different as we'll see today. I want to celebrate how he's grown us. How he's grown us. Yes, numerically, it's exciting, but mostly spiritually and personally, how he's grown us. I also want to celebrate how he's building us. And to do that, we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, you can pull it out. I'm going to grab my Bible. Then my graphic got a little messed up there. I'm sorry about that. But it's supposed to say a field, a building, and a temple. I want to give you some context on 1 Corinthians here. 1 Corinthians is a letter that Paul the Apostle wrote to the church in Corinth. And it's interesting because we call it 1 Corinthians, but we do know that it's actually not the first letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthian people. We see in this letter, he says, in my previous letter, I heard from you previously. And so we know they've been in communication. We just call it 1 Corinthians because it's the first one of two letters that we see here in the scriptures. And Paul is writing them because he's received word that things at Corinth, at the church at Corinth, are not going too hot, okay? It's not going too well. And over the course of the letter, he writes about a lot of dysfunctional stuff that's going on there. I mean, like division and factions, as we'll look at in a moment. One guy was in relationship with his stepmother. There was lawsuits amongst believers. The Christians were all concerned, can we eat food, sacrifice idol, or can we not? It's like, you know, they're asking questions like, what can Christians truly do? What are they allowed to do? Some people were coming to the communion table and they were eating and drinking too much. And so they were abusing that. So there's just chaos, right? Like, you know, you think, you know, you know of a church somewhere you think is a little hairy or a little weird. This was a church that was kind of dysfunctional. What's amazing, and this isn't in my script, but what I love about this passage is Paul doesn't tell them, shut it down, right? Like he doesn't say, close up the church. He works with them and coaches them. Even in their, they were ultra charismatic and abusing the gifts of the Spirit. And he doesn't say, shut it right down. He just says, actually, here's how it's done. And so you see him training them in right theology and right practice. And the thing that we're looking at today in the book of Corinthians is this idea of division and factions, though we're not, that's not the main point of our sermon today. In the Corinthian church, there was this real like kind of, how do I describe this? Well, we got dads here today. Maybe this resonates with some of you. When I was a kid, for some reason, me and my friends were just so adamant that my dad could beat up your dad, right? Anybody ever remember that? It's like, yeah, my dad is stronger than your dad, right? Or my dad, I remember when we'd play tag, there was this thing you do. You know how you go eeny, meeny, miny, mo? I remember there was one that was like about moms. It was like, my mom and your mom are hanging out clothes. What does it go like? What is it?
My mother, my mother punched your mother.
Right in the nose, right? There's something about, yeah, my mother punched your mother right in there. That's probably an East Coast thing. Yeah? Brenda and Ellis is here. But there's this sense of like, well, my dad is better than your dad. And in the Corinthian church, there was this sense that there was these leaders that they were kind of, the church was rallying behind, right? And so some people are like, hey, I'm with Apollos. I'm with Cephas. I'm with I'm with Paul. And so what you had is kind of people kind of fangirling over these different leaders, kind of like saying, well, they're the better leader. I'm with them. And so Paul is in this chapter 3. He's going to challenge them some significantly. He's going to come after them. He's got some harsh words for them to kind of straighten them out. But in this passage today, I believe, is the message that God wants to share with us today about celebrating how we're growing and how we're building. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly. So this is, I'm not communicating it very harshly, but he's upset here. He's saying, listen, I can't communicate to you as Christians. You guys are still living like the world. Then it says this, you're mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you are not ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. So you're not mature. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? I love that passage. I love that. It's like they're quarreling. There's jealousy. It's like, aren't you guys acting like humans? It's right. It's just a reminder that as God's people, that quarreling and jealousy are not to be found amongst us. He says this, are you not acting like mere humans? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere human beings? And so Paul here is challenging them. He's saying, like, you're acting like the world. You're acting like infants. You're acting like carnal human beings when you kind of do this whole thing about, like, who I'm following this person and I'm following this person. And let's be honest, this happens today still. And it doesn't necessarily happen as much in local churches as it does with content online, right? We say we have a pastor, but then we find our true pastor, who's this person that lives in Texas or Nashville, and we really judge everything our pastor says by what that person says. And you might say, I love Jordan, but I really love this guy, right? You should really listen to that guy. That happens over many, many churches. And Paul is just saying, hey, don't get too caught up in this for and against, pitting people against one another. But this is where I want to focus our attention. Look at this, verse 5. What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe. Servants. As the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, and God has been making it what? Oh, wow, I got one person following along. God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are God's co-workers in God's service. You are God's field and God's building. I don't know if you like this habit of circling common words in your scripture when you hear them, but if you were reading this paragraph, you would circle the word God. This passage is all about God. So Paul gives them the reminder, look, you're merely only the people, your leaders that you're following, your pastors, they're just servants. And Jesus explained what leadership is when he washed his disciples' feet. He said, look, this is how you lead. This is how you serve. If you want to be first, be last. Wash feet. And the language here of they're only servants is actually the language of like table servants. Table servants. I don't know about you, but when you go to a restaurant, and your server brings you the meal, you don't think for a moment that actually he was back in the kitchen cooking that just a few moments ago, right? No. You know that there's a chef back there. You don't think, in some small restaurants in Newfoundland, this is true, but you don't think for a moment that the person serving it didn't cook it, but they also weren't at the grocery store, right? Picking up the groceries. No, the person serving you is simply just delivering what has been prepared by many different hands. There's a lot of people doing a lot of things to make it possible for this hot meal to be delivered to you. And that's what Paul is saying about himself. He's like, listen, I'm just a table servant. I'm just serving to you. And then he uses this language of planting. Look at verse 6. It says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, and God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants or the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. And so he planted, Apollos watered, and God made it grow. You know, over the past year, we have experienced a lot of growth. Since September, we've had a number of families join us. Our volunteer teams are growing. Our worship team ministry is growing. Our giving has grown significantly. And all of that is really, really exciting. But it's not nearly as exciting as what I'm seeing God do in you. Like what I'm seeing God do in you by changing you and seeing people say more yes to Jesus, becoming more Christ-like or becoming Christians themselves. I think about the many people in this room that have been baptized even here at the church. And here's the thing I want to celebrate today, that all of the growth, both numerically and personally and spiritually, it's only possible because some of you, most of you, probably all of you, have sown and have watered, have tilled the ground. The passage tells us that when the people of God tend to his mission and his word, when we come behind what he's doing, we all do the task that's been assigned to us, God will bring the growth and fruit in people's lives. In some way, shape, or form, the creator of heaven and earth chooses to use guys like me and girls like you and men like us to do something fantastic in the kingdom of God, that he somehow cooperates with us to bring growth in people's lives. And so we do what we're called to do, and he does what only he can do. Every handshake, every encouragement, every served coffee, every song sung, every dollar put in the offering plate, everything is a seed that's sown, is water that's being poured. You know, recently I was chatting with someone, and they said this. He said, man, Milton Bible Church, this is the words they said, has changed my life. And I love that. Like, I love to hear that. But here's the truth, that Milton Baptist Church, the leaders, the people, the pastor, we are just table servers. We're just sowing. We're just pouring a little drop of water. And when we do the man and the woman size thing, God will do the God size thing. We're just called to be faithful. I want to show you an illustration of this. Today, someone came to me. And said they have something for the church. And Ron, I'm going to ask you to come forward here. Come on up, Ron. I know he doesn't want to do this. Just watch this step there around us. There you go. So Ron came and he said, Jordan, I have something for you. And I don't know, Ron, maybe you can explain. What's this called again? Diamond, what is it?
Diamond dots.
Diamond dots, okay? And I didn't have a clue what this is, but you take one piece at a time and you place it on a frame and it creates a beautiful picture. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, let's go with that.
Thank you, Ron. And so maybe you can help me. Each one of these placed things have been placed by you. You placed every one of these little dots, yeah?
Yeah.
Wow. How many are in there, you think?
Lots,
yeah. We should do a guessing game at the barbecue, shouldn't we? Just that whoever gets closest gets the... No, I'm just kidding. It's going in my office. Ron, thank you. Thank you for doing this,
no problem.
Man. Appreciate that. But I want to show you this because, you know, oftentimes most of our tasks in our life, right? Like maybe you work on the coffee team or you serve on the coffee team. Maybe you serve on the worship team or whatever the case may be. And you might just think, man, I'm just serving once or twice every 6 weeks. Together, each little thing that you do is putting together a beautiful tapestry of something that's really beautiful, that's honoring to the Lord. And in the same way, each time you do whatever God has asked you to do here at Milton Baptist, it's sowing, it's watering, it's tilling, it's preparing the environment for God to do what God can do. In verse 8, it says this, the one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose. They have one purpose, not different purposes, all towards one purpose. And each will be rewarded for their own labor. This is what's really encouraging, right? Every seed you sow, God sees. Every one. Every little molecule of water that you kind of sow and water in God's word and what he's doing here at the church, God sees every molecule. Every single one. And the scriptures say that you will be rewarded for the work that you've done to build a great church and to see people come to know him here, to build a people of God. Paul reminds him that him and Apollos have one purpose. Like the people think they're pitting them against each other. Like I follow Apollos. It's not. They're on the same team. They have one purpose. What's our one purpose as a church? First, it's the Great Commission to make disciples of all nations, right? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit, teaching them to obey all that he's commanded them. But it's also the great commandment to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind. And the second is this, to love our neighbors as ourself. I've heard it said that when a church like commits to the Great Commission and the Great Commandment, God will grow a great church. You see that? We do the man-sized part, God does the God-sized part. And that's what it's all about. The fruit of seeing people enhancing and multiplying in their lives. saying yes to Jesus, no to sin, children learning about Christ. It's all made possible by what you guys have been doing. And I want to say thank you. It's interesting. He goes from talking about planting to building. It says this in verse 9, "For we are co-workers in God's service." Yeah. You are God's field, God's building. It's interesting because growing and building can be two very different things, right? Growing is a little bit passive. We set the environment, we make sure we do our part, but then God brings the growth. At the same time, God talks about us being a building that's being built. It's more active. Let's look at verse 10 together. Verse 10. "By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care." You see that? Not just Paul and Apollos should build with care. Each one should build with care. "For no one can lay a foundation other than the one that's already laid, with Christ Jesus. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light." This is interesting here. Paul reminds them that just as people are sowing seeds and someone else is watering, he says, "I laid the foundation and now other people are building on it. And each one of us should build with care." Do you know you're helping build something here at Milton Baptist? That together we're not spectators or an audience or consumers. We don't come for a show. We are building something together for God's glory, for God's glory, for God. And in a similar way that God brings the growth when we sow and we water, Christ is also the foundation on which we stand. And so we build with care, ensuring that what we're building is actually scriptural, it's biblical. It's not grounded on some particular leader or personality. We've seen how that can build something really quickly, but also fall just as quick as it was built. But we build on Christ himself. He's the message. He's the strategy. He's the main point. You know, Paul was probably the greatest church builder that's ever walked the earth. And when he talked about his method or his strategy, you know what he said? "I preach Christ and Christ crucified." Like, that was it. Like, that was it. That's the remedy for the issue of lostness. There are lots of things that churches can build their church on. And some of them will grow a church very, very fast and build a church very quickly. But here's the truth. If it's not built on Christ, one day it'll show for itself. In August, actually, you guys are going to hear from Jonathan, who's going to speak on building our lives on Christ. And so I'm going to stop here just so he doesn't get mad at me for preaching his message, but he's preaching on August 16th, I think. Paul looks forward to a time when one day all that we've built our lives on and all that the church has built on will be exposed. Look at verse 12. "If anyone builds on this foundation," if anyone builds on Christ using gold, silver, costly stones, and so that's kind of one thing you can build with, or you can build with wood, hay, and straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. Paul is saying that one day when Christ returns, what's below the surface and behind this, what's behind the drywall will show. And, you know, it won't matter how many hot dogs we served today or how many people sat in our seats. What will matter is, are we faithful with what God has called us to be? Are we building our church on biblical principles? As we've experienced a ton of growth over the last year, like a field, we've seen fruit growing in people's lives. I really sense that this next year for Milton Baptist Church is one of, yes, growing. We're going to continue to do that spiritually, probably numerically. But more importantly, I feel God is calling us into a season of building and strengthening. You know, one of the things I think people love about coming to Milton Baptist is because it feels like family and they get to know people's names. And a lot of people that have come, they're like, "I really like how I can hear people sing and it feels small and homey." And here's one thing that I want to promise you as your pastor. The greater we grow, the smaller we have to become. And what I mean by this is, as people come to the church, we don't want to get too lost in people growing and the numbers are great, without realizing that the thing that actually God has called us to is relationships and people. And so my prayer is that as we continue to grow and build, we build systems and things that actually continue to allow us to be in relationship with one another. That is the great task ahead of us this year. So as we grow, not lose who God has made us. The invitation is for us to build with excellence, with gold, stones, and costly gems. the comparison is there, right? Like there's what you can build with wood, straw. But the invitation for us is to build with excellence and integrity, to build with intention. It's not about what's the quickest and the easiest and the cheapest or the flashiest or the most popular. The right way to move forward is to build with what honors God. It's building God's people God's way. And so, yes, while we celebrate new people, we celebrate growth, we celebrate new volunteers and new people added to the family of God, we are not as much interested in how big God is building, but what God is building. What is God building? What kind of church are we becoming? And what type of means are we going to use to get there? And the question for our church over the next year is this, is who is Milton Baptist? Who are we? What is God building amongst us? See, we're a field, but we're not just people who are growing spiritually. We're a building, but we're not just people who are gathering and growing organizationally. We are the very place that the Spirit of God dwells. The very place the Spirit of God dwells. Look at this in verse 16. He talks about a field, he talks about a building, but then he goes here. Look at verse 16. Don't you know that yourselves are God's temple and God's Spirit dwells in your midst? Wow. He goes on to say, if anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For God's temple is sacred, and you together are that temple. Whoa. You know, there's another passage in Corinthians where he talks about, don't you know your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? That's more singular. This passage here is corporate language. Don't you all know, Corinth? Don't you all know, Milton Baptist, that you are God's very temple where his Spirit of God actually dwells? He's challenging the church in Corinth to remember what's going on here and think back to the temple that they would have so honored. And, you know, as Alicia talked about the different temples and worship spaces that she went into this week, people value those spaces. They're sacred spaces. And here's what Paul is saying. We aren't just bricks and mortar. The Spirit of God doesn't just live in these four walls that we call Milton Baptist Church. He is building amongst us a people with whom his Spirit dwells. In the Old Testament, if you wanted to encounter the presence of God, you went to the temple. The temple was sacred. It was the place where God's glory dwelt. And Paul now is saying, you are now that temple. Not the bricks, not the walls, not the address, but the people. And so today we're talking and we're celebrating the fact that God is building, not a social club, not just like a place where we come and we sing songs that we like, not a place to teach our kids just good morals. He is building amongst us a place where his Spirit of God dwells, where he is given sacrifices of praise, which is our very lives. And so that's why Paul was so against petty division, right? He's saying God takes his temple pretty seriously. He's saying, like, look, you guys are getting all up in sorts and you're kind of backbiting and you're all this drama amongst you all. And he's like, don't you forget what God does to people who destroy his temple. See, Paul is trying to get through to these people. There's no time for division. You are God's dwelling place. You know, this means that what we're doing today and having a barbecue and fellowshipping with one another is not just like a barbecue and fellowshipping with one another. It's not just a collection of people having a good time. It's the people of God, the Spirit of God in our midst. Every conversation and prayer, every act of encouragement, every new friendship, every new person that walks in, every child learning about Jesus, every person taking another step of faith, God is present by his Spirit in the midst of it. And we are growing and we're building a temple, a place where God's Spirit is in our midst, where he's glorified and honored. So here's my request for you as we head into the summer, and this, you know, we'll be back here in the fall before you know it, and there's going to be all sorts of things for you to jump into. But here's my prayer for you, is to continue to grow personally. Keep growing personally and spiritually. Mm-hmm. But even here at the church, keep sowing seeds, keep watering. Whatever way God has asked you to serve, do it with all your heart. Whatever task he's given you, do it with all your might. Knowing that as you sow and others water, God will bring the growth in our lives and in our church that this world desperately needs. So will you continue to grow with us? The second is this, will you continue to build with us to ensure that your own life is built on a foundation of Christ? Coming to church on Sundays is not enough to build your life on Christ. So would you commit in your own private time with the Lord to build a life that will stand the storms of life? You know, in the next couple of months and year, there's going to be opportunities for you to jump on teams and boards and to give to what God is doing. And I'm going to ask, would you build with us? Would you shoulder some of that responsibility with us to continue to build on the foundation that's Christ, to commit to that one purpose, that one goal of making disciples of all nations, seeing them baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit, teaching them to obey all that he's commanded us. Let us pray, and the band can come back. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for all that you've done amongst us. And as I sit here and I even think of this gift that Ron brought forward this morning, that this all these beads or diamonds that are on here, this beautiful image, God, I'm just reminded that it was only a year ago that we baptized Ron and the transformation that you're doing in his life. God, I think of the people and the conversations that I've had, like the man 2 weeks ago that said that Milton Baptist has changed his life. Lord, we're just so grateful that you are still working and moving amongst us. I think of families and the relationships that are being restored. God, I'm thinking of the people that have come and been encouraged. And Lord, the great thing about this is that it's all you. It's your church. It's your field. It's your building. It's your temple. And so, God, we just say, here we are. Use us. We will do the man-sized part. We will do the woman-sized part. And we just ask and plead with you, would you continue to do the God-sized part amongst us that we might see many people come to the saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet as we worship.